Please rise for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please remain standing for a moment of silent meditation. Thank you. Approval of the minutes. Motion, please. Vic, second. Rob, any questions? All in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried. Dr. Graham?
Thank you, Mr. Falco. Just a part of my update, I wanted to let everybody know at an earlier budget presentation, there was a question about some of the fitness equipment in one of our fitness facilities at one of the high schools. I just wanted to let everybody know that we looked into it, there had been some purchases made under the current year, and the question I think was specific to the repair. And so we've worked and are continuing to work on securing a new vendor to repair some of the existing fitness equipment. I want to also just highlight some of the things that are happening in our schools right now. Today I was at Seneca for a faculty meeting, and I saw the Seneca Iron Chef Junior team there, and they were announced as their second year in a row winners for the Iron Chef Junior competition, so it was very nice to see. Last week at Waverly, as we had at many of our schools, schools participating in the St. Baldrick's events, at Waverly, I want to just highlight in particular, there were 70 students and staff participating in the event, and over $40,000 was raised at Waverly on behalf of childhood cancer. We also learned this weekend that our Linwood Destination Imagination team placed first at the regional competition. Our third grade Destination Imagine team is now heading to Binghamton for the state championships. I don't know if any of you had the opportunity to go to the North Show last weekend, Bullets Over Broadway. It was evident the hard work that our students and staff had put into the production. And we have Easts coming up at the end of this month. I think it's the weekend of March 31st, April 1st, March 30th, 31st, and April 1st, and that's going to be Into the Woods. Yesterday, our Merrimack Elementary leadership staff hosted a leadership day, and we had schools visiting Merrimack to see about proceeding with the Leader in Me program. So we had schools from, or visitors from West Hampton Beach, West Islip, Half Hollow Hills, coming to see the hard work that our students and our staff have done with regard to the Leader in Me program at Merrimack. We started our JV and varsity sports last week, and although the weather today would not indicate spring sports, we are now, we have about 755 students participating in JV and varsity athletics for the spring season. Next Monday, we have our 41st annual college night at East High School, and we have roughly 160 colleges committed to attending. So any of our students who are at that college exploration age are encouraged to attend with their parents and check out what schools are there and how they can start that process. And if they haven't started, then they can get perhaps inspired to do so. And finally, we have our upcoming curriculum nights that I was going to speak about, but I'm just going to hold off because I think Jillian and Ryan are going to give us updates from East and North respectively.
So we have our curriculum night Monday, March 27th at East, and this event is for rising eighth graders at Sagamore and Seneca who will be attending SACHM East next year. We want to start welcoming them into East even earlier than they would if they were at summer orientation. We also have March Madness coming up, and that's each year SACHM East hosts March Madness competition. That's a co-ed basketball tournament and fundraiser that begins in March and continues till April break. Students and faculty raise funds for charities, and this year we hope to raise over $3,000 to give to a charity. We also have our color run coming up, and this is the Art Honor Society, and they're hosting it to raise awareness for healthy living. That's Sunday, March 26th. And we also have St. Baldrick's, and that's Friday, March 24th. And we're having St. Baldrick's Day at SACHM East to raise money and awareness for children's cancer.
Good evening, everybody. And at North, we it was mentioned, I think, 2 weeks ago, but we also just had the Humans of Sachem North page get honored on, I think it was Fox 5 and News 12. They wrote different articles for us. They even interviewed a lot of our students. If you guys don't know, the Humans of Sachem North page was inspired by something that got started in the city. It is on Instagram, one of the social media outlets, and in a way, it's almost like telling stories about people that you wouldn't expect, seeing like the stories that, wow, like you would never know that that person had this going on in their life. So it's just like eye-opening, and it's really inspirational to all our students. So that was one thing that happened. That was about 2 weeks ago. Also mentioned was our show, Bullets Over Broadway. It was a smash hit. All three nights, we had a pretty big turnout. And the students, you could really see the level of work they put into it. They did a great job. Yesterday, since we had the whole snow issue 2 weeks ago, or I think it was actually last week, on the 14th, it is Pi Day. If some of you know, for the math teachers, you might be celebrating in your classes. We had three teachers for Make-A-Wish Foundation add up money. So the top three teachers actually got pied that day. Since it had to get postponed, we did it yesterday. So we had Mr. Charmonti, Mr. Murphy, and Mr. Master Giacomo get pied yesterday. It was hilarious, but if you're in the splash zone, it got a little rough. We also will be having our March Madness, which she explained is to raise money for many different things that we have. Ours will be April 7th, and we actually had our last bracket game, I think, done today. And one last thing that we have is the Sachem Alumni Association is now setting up an inaugural setup for the Hall of Honor class, which is to recognize alumni who have achieved extraordinary success in their chosen field or have provided exemplary service to the school district. So we have many people doing that, and that should be on April 1st.
Thank you, Ryan. Thank you, Jillian.
All right. We have a presentation, Dr. Graham. Sit on this side, Phil. She's not in tonight. Get that light.
Yeah. It worked earlier.
So you all have, or many, you should have the presentation in front of you on paper, right? And we're confident that this is going to come up, although we've done this already, and we can do this. This is our March 22nd budget meeting. This is our fourth budget presentation. As we've been going through the budgeting process, we've been presenting to the community, to the Board of Education, the expenditure side of the budget, and where we expect to be.
Now it's shutting down.
We've been presenting to the community all of our expenditures. We've done that now. Tonight's presentation focuses on our revenue and where we're going to get the money to support the programs that we've proposed to support. So do you want me to keep tap dancing, John?
You must have done an update or something while I was asleep, because it's waking back up again.
If we go to the third slide there, you will see this breaks it down as Mr. O'Keefe had presented it in the past. So within that first section on slide number 3, we have the total administration portion of the budget. And you'll see the 16-17 to 17-18 proposed budget and each of the components within that portion of the budget. And you'll see that our proposed increase change at this point is a 0.15% change. And some of that, and we've been explaining throughout the budget process, And for those of you that are new to the budget presentations, we're using microphones so that the audio on the website is clear. We certainly, I think John and I can project loud enough for the room, but that's why we're using these things. So for the proposed budget for 17-18, we're going to see changes in some codes because Mr. O'Keefe and I are now looking at the budget through slightly different lenses. And so there was a question that came up earlier in the year, earlier in this process, after one of the budget presentations about social workers. And individuals the next day went onto the website and saw a major decrease in the line item for social workers. And if they had come to the budget, they would have learned that we were moving that into a grant-funded line because that's where we're paying that person out of. And so we're really looking at the budget and trying to get a lot more granular with regard to the coding and making sure that the coding for each of those items matches where we're making that expenditure from.
We're getting close.
We're getting close, so I can keep going.
Hang in there.
So on slide 4, you'll see this is the programmatic with regard to the curriculum and instruction portion of the budget. And again, you'll see a small change. You have a 1.28% change on that portion of the budget. And I think I'll hand it over to John to give you maybe a little bit more detail there.
Okay, and again, just I'll bring it back to the slide we just reviewed. When you normally get the budget postcard in the mail, you don't get to see the line by line, every single line of the budget. You get to see three pieces. So I just thought it would be helpful if I gave you a little detail behind what those three pieces are. So state law requires us to present the budget in a three-part format. This is the three-part format, the administration part, the program piece, and the capital piece. So this just breaks it out into different categories as it's broken down in governmental accounting. And I can give you a little detail behind each of those pieces. So if we just bump back to the program piece, this is obviously the largest component of the district's budget. Curriculum instruction is obviously the detail we went through in the last presentation, $88 million. It's a good quarter plus of the budget. Special education, AIS and E&L services, occupational education, which is both in district and at BOCES, our evening high school program. Instructional media is everything IT related in the classroom, all the back-end support services, the BOCES services, as well as all library media centers throughout the district. Pupil support is things like guidance counselors, social workers, psychologists, as well as the athletic program and co-curricular activities. District transportation, the summer enrichment program, childcare. The benefits, and you may have noticed in the administration section, you'll see benefits in each piece. We break out the benefits applicable to those different employee groups and spread it across the three different parts of the budget. And the final piece in this is the interfund transfers, which, as we explained, were for special ed summer school and students going to 4201 schools, which are schools of the deaf and blind. So again, in this category, you're only showing a 1.28% change. And when you went through the detail lines during the earlier presentations, like Dr. Graham said, some of the lines stuck out that, you know, it looked like there's big drops in certain places. It's not really that there's drops. And when we slip over to the next slide, and it's down towards the bottom, in prior budgets, staff members that work, let's say, in grant-funded programs, 611 programs, Title I programs, Title II, et cetera, their salaries were originally placed into the curriculum budget. And at the bottom of the budget, if you ever scrolled to the bottom of the line by line, you would see these negative numbers taking their salaries back out. I'm not putting their salaries in the budget in the first place. I'm leaving them in the grants where they belong. And the other piece of that negative $6 million that you'll see down in the bottom right is also monies that were set aside for the building closures and things like that. So it makes comparing right to left, you know, last year's budget and next year's budget a little difficult in certain spots. So I tried to break it up as much as I could so you can follow along and not make it look like, you know, it doesn't, one doesn't lead to the other. So the capital section is entire buildings and grounds, a little bit of insurance-related expense, the two vehicles that were budgeted, actually it's three vehicles budgeted for the transportation department, the benefits for that group of employees, as well as the district's bond debt. And again, that's about 2.7%, and the primary reason that's going up, just to remind you, is that new energy performance contract, which added about $1.1 million in debt to the district's books. So in the three-part subtotal, if we leave out those other lines that don't really fit well in other places, is only a 1.35% total increase budget to budget. But the true budget to budget down at the bottom line right now as it stands, if we include those proposed capital projects, which is the staircase at East, as well as ADA required upgrades to the North Pool locker room, and we also started the new cycle of replacing the school district's buses. This would be for 6 buses. We'd be adding $1.5 million. So that $1.5 million really, in reality, if this was a normal three-part budget, would be in this upper section on this line with the $21 million. But I just broke it out separately because it's still a topic of discussion. Side by side right now, the total increase budget to budget is 3.56%. Did the board have any questions thus far? Okay, so as we've said all along, it's a programmatic rollover. So in other words, we've taken all of our staff and program that we currently have in district, and that's been rolled over. Every person, every FTE that we currently have has been rolled over into the new budget. All program continues over. And there's just some bullet items of other items that are in that $317 million and how it all pans out. One of the items in the revenue budget that's been eliminated is student fees for instrument usage. The new budget includes addition of NISMA ensemble evaluation fees. We do have a planned cycle. If you go back to the bond campaign presentations, it was about $6 million or so of equipment. I'm beginning to take the equipment out in the priority order and placing it into the district's budget over the next few years to get that work done outside of a bond. This budget includes adding a secondary building principal, assistant principal at each of our secondary schools. We're funding outdated PCs. In the last presentation we talked about, you know, with the addition of the smart school bond money, we've been waiting on buying different technology, whether they be PCs, new Macs, etc. This budget has about $474,000 worth of additional funding to start adding technology back into the classroom. And another piece of that technology, those the STEAM kits, Vex robotics kits, and 3D printers. So now I just wanted to give you a taste again. I know we touched on the tax cap calculation earlier in the presentations. This calculation, and as I said before, I cull this down to make it easier for folks to follow. I take all the plusing and minusing out, and I just give you the raw math. The top number, the 171, that's our current tax levy, $171 million. The components of the calculation are the tax-based growth factor. We add another $410,000 to the levy that way. The allowable levy growth factor, the quote-unquote 2% tax cap piece, we pick up another $2.1 million. And then that $1.1 million in additional indebtedness for the energy performance contract is the change in the capital tax levy. So there is really only about $2.5 million in new revenues going into the budget or available for the budget via the tax cap, because that 1.1 is automatically going towards that debt. So as it stands right now, and you may have seen this in Newsday with all the other districts, this equates to a tax percentage increase of 2.16%. Now, we've also discussed in earlier presentations, and this doesn't want to stay, there we go, sorry about that, that $1.5 million in other capital work. And just to show you how that changes the math and how it changes the levy percentage increase, the only number that changes is that $2.6 million now. So 1.1 went to 2.6, that's the additional of the 1.5. That increases the levy to $176 million, and the levy percentage increase would be 3.07. Again, it's a number that's within the tax cap. It does not provide any additional monies for program. The additional monies would go straight to the capital purchases. Any questions here? So again, this slide is very hard, and obviously I'm not going to go line by line, and this is actually not fully inclusive of all the revenue lines. I just tried to hit all the high points. The board in your books, you do have the detailed line by line, which is a 2-page document. But from the handout, you can see a comparison side by side of the different revenues. And just for the sake of this comparison, I used what I'm calling the initial property tax cap levy, which would be the one without the additional capital projects. If I added in, again, it raises the revenues and the expenditures by the same $1.5 million. So it leaves us in the same basic place. But this is just all the major components of our revenue, whether it be property taxes, our payments in lieu of taxes, or our pilot payments, you know, student fees, bless you, child care, tuition, the library debt. In other words, the public library pays us a fee equivalent to what their debt payment is, interest on earnings. There's a big sum total category, which is called miscellaneous. It actually has about six or seven different categories of revenue in there. It's the premium on our tax anticipation note. It's the monies we receive as donations towards the DOMA program. It's the summer enrichment payments from the parents. It's a whole group of different revenues that add up to about the $2.5 million. So you can see here, in this example, the total revenue is about $311 million in round numbers. So just to put it on paper and show you where we stand right now, if I use that revenue calculation, the 311, I use the reduced expenditure calculation without the 1.5, and again, if I put the 1.5 in, it equates to both sides. I currently have a variance of about $4.4 million. So again, that's still an item that's a work in process. We're hoping by the next budget presentation to have updated state aid figures. But since these original numbers come out, some other numbers, Mr. Sachs and I have been working literally daily since the last presentation, drilling into things. Eastern Suffolk BOCES has provided us with updated numbers, which I'll revise in the next presentation, which eliminate about $280,000 of expenditures, because instead of going by projected numbers, we actually have actual numbers for our next year's bill. We have had 26 members of the SCTA declare retirements. So if I take all of their salaries that I rolled into this rollover budget, and I assume I'm hiring 26 new people at a lower salary, you know, with their benefits, etc., in round numbers, I have about $800,000 there. What else did we talk? There was another point we touched today. I forget what it was. Sequoia. I'm going to roll back some of the utility expenses in the facilities line because we do have that building rented now. So I know as of September 1st, I won't be paying the utilities on that building. So that's another $150,000 or so. So I mean, in rough numbers, I know that I've already reduced the 4.4 probably down to somewhere in the 3.1 range. But obviously, there's still a lot of work to go. Administration is still working. We're all working together to tally up all our courses and calculate the staffing needs. Again, trying to evaluate the impact of those retirements. And hopefully by the 5th and our next meeting, we'll have some state aid numbers and we can update the revenue side and take it from there. Is there any questions?
Rob? John, you had mentioned $260,000 less than the BOCES line. Where is that savings coming from?
When we did the rollover for, you know, things even like special ed tuition, we projected a maximum of about 5%. 2.5% is probably a better number. The BOCES admin piece, we have an exact number now on that admin as opposed to us estimating what the number will be. Little miscellaneous things. You know, cooperative bidding, I know what the number is on that. The employee assistance program, I have a better number on that. So there's a number of lines that cumulatively add up to about $280,000 that I'll be able to reduce out of the expenditure budget.
2.5% versus what we projected was a 5%.
Yeah, I mean, some things we have seen are going up 4 or 5%, you know, like Frontline, which is ASOP and IEP Direct and Medicaid Direct, they're increasing their fees about 5%. But most everything else in the BOCES line is staying flat or a maximum of 2. So they tried to hold the figures as flat as possible.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
John, could you go to the slide before that, please? You know, quick math shows that we went up $36 million in revenue, which means we probably went up $36 million in expenses over the last 5 years. I know you're new to the job, but could you give me a broad stroke on where that money went?
On why the expenditures 30, increased 36, that much?
$36 million over 5 years, a lot of money. We lost.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't want to speak to specifics without drilling into it for you, but I mean, each year, health insurance, which is a $30 million expense, goes up 8 to 10%. I mean, this year it went up 11.65%. You know, salary increases, depending upon the bargaining unit, could be somewhere in the 2, 2.5% range. If I figure it out as an aggregate, so even if it's a 2%, you have $160 million in salaries in the district, the numbers do start to increase rapidly. I mean, if you look at most other areas, if we do the line by line, you'll see almost every line in the budget, you know, other than salaries and those benefit lines, have stayed flat. TRS expenses, ERS expenses have all grown double digits for the last few years. Any other questions?
Okay.
Thank you, John. Just important to reiterate that this is a draft budget and that now we've presented the entire draft budget. All of the proposed expenditures, our proposed revenue, our anticipated revenue. As John mentioned, we believe that that variance now has come down a little bit based on some very recent work. And our hope is by the April 5th board meeting is to present a budget that is as close to that balance as possible. And that's our aim, and that's what we're working towards. Thank you.
Okay. Do we have any questions on the budget, board? Okay. No other questions on the budget, correct? Okay. Thank you, Dr. Graham. Okay, we'll get into the agenda. Okay, business items, bid awards, 4A1. Motion, please. Nick, second, Sarah. Any questions? All in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried. Personnel items, consent agenda 5A1 through 5C6. Motion, please. Laura, second, Mike. Any questions? All in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried.
Mr. Falco, if I could just interject, one of the items that was just taken through the consent agenda for personnel was 26 teacher retirements, and I think it's, while we can look at those teacher retirements as potential savings in upcoming budgets, we also know that we're losing a tremendous amount of experience, so we thank the retirees for their service and congratulate them on their retirement.
Thank you, Chris.
Tony, excuse me, Dr. Graham, out of the 26 that are retiring, do you have an idea on how many you're going to look to replace? Is it 26 for 26 or is it 13 for 26?
Well, in the context of the rollover budget, what we've been doing is taking every position and rolling that over. So in this case, yes, it would be the 26 for 26. And as John had mentioned, where we'd be looking at a higher end teacher on the salary scale to replace them is going to cost us, I'm not going to say significantly less, but it's going to cost less. But in the process right now, what we're doing is that as our administrators at the district office are working with building administrators, we're also going to look if there's any way, you know, that we can realize savings and perhaps not replace all of them. That's what we'd be looking for. So as we look to close that variance, those are things that we have to look at this point.
Okay. Action items, mini contracts. Action items 611 through 619. Motion, please. Laura, second. Terry, any questions? All in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried. All right. We're on page 11. 6110. Motion to establish the Lori Navarra Memorial Scholarship. Motion, please. Bill, second. Terry, any questions? All in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried.
Oh, Mr. Falco, sorry. One, just wanted to acknowledge Chris Vaccaro here this evening, and whose contract was just extended through the remainder of the school year, and thank him for his service and look forward to continuing our relationship together. And two, the Lori Navarra Memorial Scholarship is something that was brought to, I think, our high school cosmetology students, and it's a really interesting idea that the scholarship is going to go towards students in need who are involved with our cosmetology program and buy them the kits that are necessary for them to participate in that program. So we're very thankful to the family.
Thank you. 6111, approval, a proposed 17-18 school calendar. Motion, Mike, second. Terry, any questions on the calendar? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. Donations, consent agenda items 621 through 623. Motion, please. Bill, second. Terry, any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. Page 12, budget transfers. Approval of budget transfers, $50,000 or greater. Motion, Bill, second. Sarah, any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. 641, policy second reading and adoption. Motion, please. Terry, second. Laura, any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried.
Mr. Falco, if you don't mind, I'm going to keep interjecting here. Just a reminder to everyone in the audience that we've started the process of reviewing our entire policy manual, and so this is a process that's been going on for several months, and it probably will continue for several years. So we've been taking chunks of our policy manual. We have a subcommittee of the board who are working with our attorney and myself to review different district or various district policies. So each policy that we revise will appear on the board agenda as a first read first, and then at the subsequent meeting, it will appear as a second read and adoption. So this group of policies here, I think there was a question from Mr. Scavo at our last meeting about whether or not all of the policies that we're abolishing are then captured in other policies in other ways. And I just wanted to assure the board and the community that as we abolish policies, anything that's required by law is being captured. So all of those are going to be captured in new or existing policies.
Thank you, Doug. Recommendation from the Committee on Special Education, 651. Motion, please. Bill, second. Laura, any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. Damage and loss, anything on that? Preschool Special Ed. Committee on Preschool Special Ed. Committees. Anything on legislative?
I just want to point out to the people that are attending and perhaps suggest to the school that the meetings that are being held throughout this period are on TV, on channel 116. I urge the people in our community to be apprised of what's going on so that they can more intelligently see the complex process that's taking place in Albany. I say complex because sometimes I have found to my dismay that even the people that are working there find it complex. So we as people who are not equipped to always handle that should at least give ourselves an opportunity to be exposed throughout the day. It's a 24-hour station. And I think it's important for them to hear our representatives, our senators from our district, to hear what they're saying and how they're saying it and what imports on what these gentlemen here are working on the nebulous nature of our budgeting. I mean, anybody that's listening tonight can see everything is conjecture. And I think that's one of the paradoxical natures of our political process, that we don't know on the lowest level of government, the bottom, and the most important to us, our education of our children, is left to the whims of what's going to happen in the next 10 days. So I urge them to really take heed of that particular opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Anything on the audit or the budget advisory? No? Okay, we have visitors. Chris DePaul.
Good evening, Mr. Falco, members of the board, Dr. Graham, members of the cabinet, and Sachem community. As president of the Sachem Administrators Association, I thank you for the opportunity to speak here tonight. You'll excuse my voice, it's allergy season. Yesterday, I sent a letter to the board detailing what the district doesn't have in regard to our building and department administrators. Tonight, I would like to give you a glimpse of what you do have. I was in a kindergarten classroom yesterday. I love to go there, not only because they're so cute, and they really are, but because when I'm there, I see boundless energy, a look at the world through fresh eyes, and the unlimited potential of these students. But already in March, I see that these students do not come to us as a blank canvas, a tabula rasa that we need only write on to shape a successful future. They are all unique, all slightly different in some way, and they come to us with challenges that we must help them to meet. Some come with the challenge of limited resources. From intact or single-parent homes, parents who are working hard every day to make ends meet, but still struggle. Poverty is on the rise in Long Island, as evidenced by 23% of our Sachem students qualifying for free or reduced lunch, up from 10% just 9 years ago. These students have fewer resources to facilitate their learning, fewer books to read, fewer computers at home, fewer trips to new places, to museums, to plays, etc. All experiences that build their background knowledge and facilitate learning. For these children, the school must fill the gap. Building administrators work with teachers, their psych and social work staff, and PTAs to pinpoint needs and to augment our students' educational experiences. Excuse me. Whether it is planning community events, facilitating cultural arts presentations and class trips, buying new sneakers for a student so he can play in gym, or simply digging into your pocket for a pizza lunch, as I did yesterday to reward my iReady reader leaders, our building administrators make a difference in the lives of all our students, and especially in the lives of the most needy. The challenges for students struggling with poverty and social stressors continue as they advance through the higher grades and are at risk for problem and potentially dangerous behaviors. Keeping these students from becoming disenfranchised and turned off to learning is the task of our middle and high school administrators. They not only respond to incidents after they occur, but they work to develop a supportive building culture, much as Tom Desmond did with his mentoring program at Samoset. And I'm proud to tell you that Tom was recently recognized as an outstanding middle school assistant principal of the year by the Council of Administrators and Supervisors of Long Island. But Tom is not alone in his fine work. Our secondary building and department administrators work tirelessly to keep our buildings safe and secure while providing opportunities for students to shine academically, in sports, in drama and music, and in all of their passion projects. These administrators give not only their expertise and experience to their buildings and departments, but give of their time to attend concerts, games, evening and weekend events, and to be present to cheer their students on far beyond the school day. Some students come to us as new English language learners, and their numbers are also on the rise. More recently, the state has seen fit to impose on districts new unfunded mandates requiring new teacher certifications, new grouping and exiting criteria, and a new structure for monitoring the delivery of these services. Here's where we must give a shout out to our own Stephanie McIntosh, who was able, through her relationships with our teachers in Molloy College, to develop a Sachem cohort of teachers qualified to teach ELL under the new guidelines. By using her creativity and thinking outside the box, Mrs. McIntosh was able to reorganize the delivery of ELL services in magnet buildings and thereby save the district literally hundreds of thousands of dollars while providing these students with services vital to their success. Not surprisingly, the number of students with disabilities continues to grow across Long Island and within our district. Our administrators in the Office of Student Services, together with building administrators, work with our teachers, students, and parents to provide programs these children need to succeed. Whether participating in building IST or CSE meetings, counseling parents as to their options and use of services, providing staff development to teachers on the best instructional practices in working with disabled students, or keeping track of and in compliance with a myriad of state regulations, our administrators do what is needed to be done to provide success for our most vulnerable learners. So much can happen from that time that our students first enter that first garden of children. And some would argue now that our garden is withering, that we are no longer Sanzigal. So I'd point out to you that as necessary as water and sunlight are to a garden, so are the administrators, teachers, and support personnel to our students. When I ask this board to consider the value of the administrators behind me, I am really asking What is the value of our Sachem children? Are we crazy, as we've been told, to believe that our value is comparable to surrounding districts? Are our students worth as much? We realize this board has difficult decisions to make. We hope only that in making decisions affecting administrators, you see our value ensuring that the potential blossoms into success for the students of Sachem. I thank you for your attention tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. Okay. You want another shot?
As a citizen.
Go right ahead.
I don't want to have a kind of a mixed attitude of what I'm here for. But as a citizen of this community for 62 years, I've been a number of boards. I failed to count on many because I lost count. But seriously, I listened very carefully to the excellent publication of the presentation of all the budget divisions and all that. I have just a couple of questions. This year, the interest rate to borrow money has increased by 0.5% since the last time. Is that correct, Mr. Falco?
Correct.
So it is invariable that over the 62 years that I know, we've always had to borrow money to run our schools until January. And we know how much that costs. We get nothing for it except that we pay taxpayer money for it. Why hasn't there been, and that's why I'm going to propose that we have a joint unanimity, this should be bipartisan here, to find out why we have to have a budget from April 1st that the state passes. Meanwhile, we pay from July 1 till December. You know that, Mr. Fagg, you've been here for 33 years now at least, right?
Almost as long as you.
Not quite. You were here before that.
That's right.
But seriously, there should be some exploration as to this kind of, I call it a kind of a Pollyanna situation where we have to pay for something we don't get until January. How much is that going to cost us this year with the half? Has anybody projected how much it's going to cost to borrow the money to use for our schools, to pay our teachers and everybody else until the local taxes from the town of Brookhaven come to us?
We budget $1.5 million for that.
$1.5 million. That'll buy a lot of media material, won't it, that our children? A lot of material. It could add how many social workers, how many more counselors that we need desperately. With that, you already told me that. Now, did you hear that, folks, back here? $1.5 million that we get nothing for. How long have we been paying this $1.5 million? At one time, we were paying much more, weren't we? If you go back to the 1950s, we've paid a lot of money for this stuff that we didn't get. Plus, in the last 7 years, we've got money taken away from our fund that we use for things unexpected. Right, Mr. Scavo? Since 09, you have the figures there. They've never paid that back. They never paid us interest for loaning them money. These are things that should really be presented very strongly by our community to the people that represent us. Now, I happen to be working for one, and I'm making that point well known to that person. But I'm one person with one person. There's people that represent us out there in Albany for this kind of stuff. So since I'm on the legislative committee, I'm trying to facilitate some thought processing that should go into this. Because our children who are graduating, these two fine people are presenting here, that didn't exist, by the way, 10 years ago, right, Mr. Falco?
Correct.
And you know how it got to be. And now other schools are picking up because we set the Sanzi Gov project, right? Now, that's another thing. Another thing I want to know is we reduced our population and our buildings with three elementary and one middle school. We now have three altogether.
Correct.
We lost custodians. We lost people that work in the building, security, and so on. Where did that money go that we saved? I don't see it in the budget. Is it in the budget someplace that I don't know?
It's absorbed by the increases.
Oh, okay. Ah. Now, what would have happened to our budget, and you know how to crunch those numbers because you're adept at it with Mr. Sachs here. How did that money get, how much was that going to save us if it hadn't been for the fact that we have to pay more for our health benefits in double figures? Are we paying double figures for the benefits that we give to teachers through their retirement system? How much of that would have been saved had we gotten it? I'm not presenting this in a vitriolic, combative section. Just to inform us about what's going on here. How much we would have paid in the 2% cap? We would have been beyond the cap, wouldn't we?
Oh, easily.
How much would we have gotten with those 2-3 schools that we saved? Anybody got a figure on that?
I believe it was calculated at about $2
million. $2 million we would have saved?
We did save.
I leave our population and stuff in our district to do some thinking about it. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sal. Okay. Future agenda items? No, we have enough on the case. Our next meeting is April 5th. Okay. At this point, any motion to for executive session for the purpose of discussing matters leading to the appointment of certain individuals, proposed acquisitions, sale or lease of real property, and collective bargaining negotiations. Motion, please. Laura, second. Bill. All in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried. Thank you very much.